Cessna postpones plans to offer T-Alert diesels in the 172. Diamond says it plans to keep installing and servicing T-Alerts. And the Senate will try again this week on FAA reauthorization. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, May 5th, 2008. Cessna has reconsidered its decision to offer the 172 with T-Alert turbodiesel power. 7 months ago, Cessna announced at AOPA Expo it would add a diesel option for markets where traditional aviation gasoline is hard to find or prohibitively expensive. At a press conference, Cessna's VP of Marketing, Frank White, recited a lengthy list of advantages a FADEC diesel power plant would offer. But in the months since, a scandal involving financial reporting has made it impossible for the company to find needed financing, despite good sales and profits. Company founder and CEO Frank Thielert, along with former CFO Roswitha Grosser, were terminated. A government investigation into the company's financial reporting continues. With the company's future unclear, Cessna spokesman Doug Oliver told ANN, quote, "We continue to watch the Thielert situation closely. At this point, we have decided that we will not offer 172 TD aircraft during 2008, and we have informed our customers accordingly," unquote. Ironically, this means foreign customers who've been buying new Skyhawks and doing the T-Alert conversion in the aftermarket will be back to buying their engines directly from T-Alert, assuming that remains possible. It's one thing for Cessna to decide to hold off on adding T-Alert power as an option. Diamond Aircraft Industries, on the other hand, has lots of T-Alert-equipped planes in customers' hands already, and the DA-40 TDI and the DA-42 Twin Star are among Diamond's most respected planes. On Friday, Diamond issued a notice to all customers and service centers to assure them that the company will continue to provide support for current and future aircraft. Diamond said its senior management plans to meet with T-Alert AG leadership and insolvency administrators in Europe this week to clarify continued support and engine deliveries. In the meantime, Diamond is compiling a central inventory of new and used spare parts and developing plans for medium and long-term parts needs in support of power plants on delivered aircraft. Delays in service direct from T-Alert are anticipated. Diamond says it intends to continue building the DA-42 and the DA-40 TDI with T-Alert engines. Over 30 DA-42s currently in production are awaiting engines, and Diamond reports deliveries of those aircraft will be delayed. The seven-month logjam in the U.S. Senate over S-1300, the bill which would reauthorize the FAA, finally broke last week when Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada demanded a compromise on user fees. By week's end, the White House had threatened to veto any bill that didn't introduce general aviation user fees. Then the bill stalled completely when senators started trying to add pet amendments, including one to toughen pension rules for airlines. Now, CNN reports Reid has scheduled a Tuesday procedural vote to set a deadline for lawmakers to stop quibbling over amendments. Republican senators have criticized Reid, a Democrat, saying he's trying to make sure only amendments he favors find their way into the bill's final version. Of course, when the Republicans held the majority, they never dreamed of using procedural tactics to block the opposition party. Nod, nod, wink, wink. When someone says air taxi, the first thought that comes to mind may be very light jet. But the one air taxi provider showing strong financials is getting it done with Cirrus SR-22s. SATS Air announced last week the 2007 fiscal year marked strong growth for the company's on-demand services and that the trend has continued through the first quarter of 2008. Total flights grew 60% from 2006 to 2007 to more than 16,000 flights landing in 27 states. SATS Air ended the year with over 6 million passenger miles flown since the company's inception in November of 2004. The company says Florida led all states with a 314% increase in flights over 2006, but notes that every state it served was up over 2007. SATS Air CEO and President Steve Hanvey says the trend continued in this year's first quarter, quote, "Even with the broad economic concerns of today, this is our fourth year in business. We're continuing to refine our air cab model that provides economical personal travel for our growing customer base," unquote. SATS Air is headquartered in South Carolina and has now landed in 47 of that state's 60 public use airports, providing the start of an effective South Carolina intrastate air network. SATS Air's business model anticipated providing an alternative to trips made by car, but the company says 2007 saw a significant number of new customers using the operation as a way to get door-to-door more quickly than they could using hub-and-spoke airlines. Up next on ANN, a runway incursion in Idaho kills three and injures three more. NASA postpones its August shuttle mission to the Hubble telescope. And even federal air marshals get caught in the no-fly list. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing from May 5th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Three people have died and a small child remains hospitalized after a runway collision between two Cessna 172s at the McCall, Idaho Municipal Airport on Saturday. FAA spokesman Ian Greger in Los Angeles told the Associated Press one of the planes was landing with two on board and hit the other plane on the runway. The second 172, with a pilot and three children aboard, burst into flames. KTVB News in Boise reports the two men in the landing aircraft stopped and pulled a two-year-old from the burning plane. That child was flown to the University of Utah Burn Center in critical condition with third-degree burns. The 52-year-old pilot, Bill Keating, and two grandsons, ages 1 and 6, all from Caldwell, died at the scene. The two men in the other plane were identified as 30-year-old pilot Justin Mooney of Post Falls and his passenger, 27-year-old Mark Fuller of Hayden. They were reportedly treated and released from McCall Memorial Hospital on Saturday. Greger said Mooney and Fuller had departed Phelps Field at Spokane, Washington, while KTVB reported Keating had flown with his grandsons from Caldwell. The untowered field was closed for the day Saturday to accommodate FAA investigators. The National Transportation Safety Board was expected to send a representative over the weekend. Delays in production of the shuttle fleet's redesigned external fuel tanks have forced NASA to postpone a mission to service the Hubble Space Telescope. The mission was slated for this August. AP reports NASA will delay the mission by at least a month. Atlantis and a crew of seven will launch at the end of September at the earliest, but shuttle program manager John Shannon says the wait is worth it. Quote, "It's a small price to pay, to tell you the truth, 4 to 5 weeks for all the improvements that we're getting on this tank," unquote. The new tank design resists the formation of ice, which has led to damage to the tank's foam insulation on launch in the past. The tank for Atlantis is expected to be ready to go by the original August 28th launch date for the Hubble mission, but NASA won't launch until Endeavour is also ready for a potential rescue mission. The policy recognizes the need for a backup on trips to Hubble, which, unlike the International Space Station, could not house astronauts if something went wrong with the shuttle. We've all heard the stories of airline passengers who've been denied boarding because their names matched suspected terrorists on the federal no-fly list. With that list now numbering over 700,000 names, it should come as no surprise that among those denied boarding have been federal air marshals. The Washington Times reported last week that even with proper credentials, some marshals are denied boarding by airlines. One marshal told the Times, quote, "In some cases, planes have departed without any coverage because the airline employees were adamant they would not fly," unquote. Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold has sent a letter to Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff and FBI Director Robert S. Mueller III asking for a copy of a classified security directive that outlines how air marshals matched on the no-fly list will work with airline officials in the future. The senator said of the current situation, quote, "It provides less security to the flying public, and it highlights continuing problems with the terrorist screening database and its redress process," unquote. The Federal Air Marshals Program sent new policy directives to airlines on April 23rd, but warns it may take time for the new guidelines for identifying the marshals properly to reach every customer service rep. The marshals themselves say the issue is just now getting attention after being a problem for 6 years. NIMBYs have won round one of a battle over a new residential air park community proposed for Florida's Gilchrist County. Within its 815 acres, Oak Tree Landing planned to have 590 homes, a PGA Pro-designed golf course, spa, fitness center, pool, mini-mart, and an FAA-approved 4,995-foot runway at its center. In order for the development to be considered, developers requested the county's comprehensive plan be amended to facilitate changes to the building code that would allow the mixed-use community to begin construction on the Alachua County line near Newberry and High Springs, Florida. Nearly all of the 100 people in attendance at last week's meeting of the Gilchrist County Planning Commission were against the development and told the commission they wanted to replace, rather than amend, the outdated long-range comprehensive plan. But that could take up to 2 years. A few supporters of the air park at the meeting expressed concerns the delay could prompt Stiles to take the development and whatever economic activity it might generate to neighboring Levy County. The High Springs Herald reports that after hearing the speakers, the Gilchrist County Planning Commission voted to recommend denial of the amendments required for Oak Tree Landing. That recommendation now goes to the County Commission. Still ahead, Aloha Airlines resumes its inter-island cargo flights. The Marines love their Ospreys, and they tell us why. And slowing down to save fuel in the air. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, May 5th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Aloha Airlines resumed cargo operations Thursday evening after the carrier reached an agreement with the U.S. Bankruptcy Court to keep the vital inter-island freight and mail transport service going. The Honolulu Advertiser reports a court-appointed trustee will oversee operations until May 14th, when the unit of the now-defunct airline is sold to Seattle-based Saltchuk Resources Incorporated. As ANN reported, Aloha shut down its cargo division a week ago, after being denied additional financing by its primary lender, GMAC Commercial Finance. Both Saltchuk and a rival bidder, Jupiter Holdings Group, opted not to meet GMAC's minimum bid of $15 million. The shutdown sent local leaders scrambling. Aloha carries 85% of Hawaiian inter-island cargo, including mail. Saltchuk said it decided to take a second look at its bid after U.S. Senator Daniel Inouye made a personal appeal to the company. There's no guarantee Saltchuk will retain 300 existing Aloha employees, but the company has indicated that is its desire. Aloha filed for bankruptcy on March 20th. The carrier ended passenger service on March 31st, after 61 years in operation. U.S. Marine Corps officials have said the MV-22 Osprey tiltrotor aircraft has proven itself in Iraq, and on Friday they shared some specifics with Pentagon reporters. Lieutenant General George J. Troutman, Deputy Commandant for Marine Corps Aviation, said, quote, "We're immensely proud of the Marines of Tiltrotor Squadron 263, who took on the challenging task of the first combat deployment of the Osprey," unquote. The squadron deployed with 10 aircraft from Marine Corps Air Station New River, North Carolina, last September, and they returned home last week. Among the Osprey anecdotes shared, Squadron Commander Lieutenant Colonel Paul Rock said each of the aircraft flew an average of 62 hours per month. That's 12 more than forecast. Instead of requiring 24 hours of maintenance for every 1 hour of flight time, as was the case with the old tech CH-46 helicopters it replaced, the Osprey dropped that ratio to 9.5 to 1. Crew Chief Sergeant Danny Herman praised the craft's payload. He said he often ran out of cubic feet before he reached the craft's maximum weight. MV-22 pilot Captain Sarah Fibasov said the range and speed of the Osprey allowed her to medevac a Marine with a ruptured appendix from a remote base well south of Al Asad Air Base and get him to medical help in 56 minutes, within the so-called golden hour after an injury, in which chances of survival are the greatest. So, with all this to be happy about, is there anything the Marines think could be improved? Well, yes. The Corps wants to add an all-aspect, all-quadrant weapon on the MV-22's belly, controlled by a gunner inside. Another MV-22 squadron is operating at Al Asad Air Base today. The Marines will create two more squadrons every year. If you were around during the oil embargo of the 1970s, you remember all the emphasis on the 55-mile-per-hour speed limit on highways. Could slowing down airliners save fuel? Well, apparently so. Several airlines, among them JetBlue, Southwest, and Northwest, have started slowing their planes down. It doesn't take much. It appears small reductions in speed can make a big difference to the bottom line. The Associated Press reports Southwest started flying about 10 knots slower than usual 2 months ago. JetBlue's been doing it for 2 years. Remarkably, Northwest's flight from Minneapolis to Hawaii now takes about 2 minutes longer than it used to. That's all, 2 minutes. And the airline says just that will save it $600,000 a year in fuel on that route alone. JetBlue pegs its savings throughout its network at about $13.6 million a year. Megan McCarthy of United Airlines says the airline now uses flight planning software, which picks the most efficient speed for each flight, and expects that software to save it $20 million a year. American Airlines says it is not a fan of the slowdown. American spokesman John Hotard says the company is instead relying on the addition of winglets to its Boeing 737s and 757s to cut fuel consumption, and keeping its planes plugged into ground power as long as possible to avoid running the auxiliary power units. Airline consultant Bob Mann says slowing flights down results in other ancillary costs as well. Increased flight time over the life of the airframe adds to maintenance costs, and longer hours for flight crews and cabin personnel. Finally, we'll excuse you if you find it hard to summon sympathy for Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. The governator likes to commute by G4 from the state capital to California's Santa Monica Airport, which is about 15 minutes from his Los Angeles mansion. On March 25th, the Santa Monica City Council voted to ban all Class C and Class D jets from using the airport, which would include the governor's Gulfstream. The FAA intervened and obtained a temporary injunction until May 15th, when a federal judge will decide if the city, which accepted federal grants for that airport, can legally enforce its ban. An interesting sidebar to the story is City Council member Bobby Shriver, whose sister is Arnold's wife, Maria Shriver. Bobby voted for the ban, which passed the council unanimously back in March. Schwarzenegger has yet to comment, but Shriver tells Bloomberg he knows what to expect if the restriction holds. Mimicking his brother-in-law's Austrian accent, he says, quote, "Now I have to drive an hour and a half because of Bobby and the communists," unquote. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller, who's been a critic of the way most Part 141 flight schools train their students. It seems Bob is about to move his flight training operation under Part 141. Does that mean he's selling out? And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.